Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark Castro, and I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity, and I oversee our kids' ministry and our student ministry. Like Valerie was saying, what a blessing it is to see our kids up here singing and really leading us in worship through song. And I'm just really excited even for our second gathering time as our oldest, Joelle, who's three, she's going to be singing up here in the second gathering. So it's just a special time of the year. I'm excited for it. Hope you guys are as well. I'm going to continue in our Advent series this morning. As I do that, let me pray. Father, thank you just for the blessing of sending your son Jesus. And we're so thankful for that. The hope that brings, the love, the joy, the peace, even as we're talking and lighting these candles and remembering that and anticipating that. Help us not to, as it can be tempting to go through the motions or with the busyness of the holiday season, as it can be to miss that or forget that or think, well, I've been doing that for a long time and to miss it. Help us to remember, to take it to heart and to think, if this is true, if this is good news for us and good news for those around us, how can that change? How should that change us and those around us? Pray you be with me as I preach and speak this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys may be familiar with this. Maybe I think most of you are. There's like a trend nowadays where you announce like when you're going to have a baby, you do like this big announcement. And maybe this has been happening for years or centuries. I'm not really sure. I wasn't around. But especially since the dawn of kind of social media over the last 10 years, even the last handful of years, you can see when people are going to have a baby, they come up with this creative like way to announce it on social media with a picture or a video or something. And those of you in the room or are done having kids, you're probably like, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with the pressure of coming up with something creative and original. I don't have to go on Pinterest and try and find something that I think is going to work. Maybe some of you in the room are still going to have kids, or maybe you're going to do that pretty soon, and you're like, thanks, Mark. Thanks for reminding me. Something else I got to worry about. But I thought, hey, this will just be my big idea. Don't worry about it. Just have fun and tell those that you love on social media. It'll be okay. Then I can close in prayer and be done. I'm kidding. But I just wanted to show you guys some pictures from when we did this, when Andrea and I did this. So the first one up here is of announcing that we're going to have Joelle. Here's our dog, Dodger. He's a 5.5-pound Pomeranian. He's a really light little guy. But it says there, notice my parents are they're bringing me a human in November 2016. So just a fun way to kind of announce, hey, we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a child. This is exciting. We want to let our friends and family know through social media. Of course, we told those that we love, before that, then we made the broader announcement to our other friends and family. And I was talking with some staff members on Thursday. I'm like, hey, I better make it clear that, hey, I'm not about to announce that we're going to have another kid. I just want to make that really clear. I'm like, hey, that's going to be actually as big idea as that. Hey, they're having another kid. Anyway, so that is not where I'm going with this, just in case you're wondering. So here's the next picture. This is when we were going to have Margot. Here's Joelle in her crib, and it says eviction notice. Right, she's going to be evicted out of her crib, November 2018. She's holding the ultrasound, really cute. She had no idea what she was doing, but that's okay. But when you're parents, you get excited. You want to tell those that you love these important things in your life that is happening. And when you're going to have a baby, that's a big deal, right? But when I think of Mary and Joseph, they weren't running to Facebook to let their friends know right away when they found this information out. In fact, Pastor Kevin, he talked about last week about how Joseph, he was going to divorce Mary quietly. So it wasn't, this exciting thing that they wanted to tell their friends about. And so Joseph, though, he's really seriously considering this, and then an angel appears to him in a dream, if you remember, and the angel says, hey, this is good. What is happening with Mary is of the Holy Spirit, and she's going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. So Joseph is going to do what the angel said and end up marrying Mary, taking Mary as his wife. I love that even in the midst of this and how it started off in secret and in that way. And yet 2,000 years later, we know this story. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus in this room, you know it. There was no need for social media. There was no need for anything like that, as the whole world knows of this, the pronouncement of Jesus, the pronouncement of the birth of Jesus. One thing as we kind of dive into this message, I want us to consider is, who is this good news for? Who is this good news for? It shouldn't be a surprise. Even last week, Pastor Kevin talked about how this good news is for everyone. You can see that through the life of Jesus, who he interacted with and where he was interacting with them, and that it really is for everyone. But do we really believe that it is for everyone? And maybe we need to just start with us. Do we believe that it is for us? It is for you or for me? And if it is for me, and if it is for those around me, then how should that change how I live? Do we go through the motions during the holiday season, the Christmas season, or do we see that God is going before us and he wants us to show his love to those around us? So I'm just going to start off by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and then when I'm finished doing that, we'll kind of go back and I'll highlight some things and move through the passage. So let me do that. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In Luke's account of the pronouncement of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, and to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So is this good news for us? Is it for me? Is it for you? Is it for those around us? Is it for the world? And if it is, how does that change how we should live? In Luke chapter 2, right away, it kind of starts off in a solemn way. We could miss this if we're just kind of reading, and we've heard this story many times for many of us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. So Caesar is this foreign ruler. He's in charge during this time. And Israel, I was going to say, like, well, they're getting used to being kind of ruled by foreign rulers, but really, they haven't. Whether it's Babylon or Syria or Persia or Rome, Rome is ruling over them. And Caesar is in charge, and he's in a decree, and they have this mandate of a census for tax purposes that's going to go out. So this foreign leader, this mighty Caesar on the throne, that is the state, that is the situation that Jesus is finding himself in, and Mary and Joseph as they're going to have baby Jesus. And moving on, in verse 4, we can see that Joseph, he's going to go up to Galilee, and from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. because he was of the house and the lineage of David to be registered with Mary. So see here in the right away, we saw how Caesar's in charge. He's mighty. He is ruling. But then something else is happening, something that maybe people didn't expect or weren't anticipating how it was going to happen, that Jesus is going to come and that it's going to be from the city of David, from Bethlehem, from the lineage of David. You see, David is the greatest king in ancient Israel. And people believe that, well, if the Messiah comes, the anointed one, he's going to come from David's family, from his house. So Luke is intentional, pointing this out for us. And it goes on to say, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, Mary, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. More than likely, this wasn't like the Holiday Inn Express. It was like a guest room, more than likely, a lodging place, that there was no room for them. Now, the prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 5, he talks about how a ruler is going to come from Bethlehem. Again, Luke is intentional. He didn't just like by accident think of this. No, he knows of these stories. He knows of these prophecies of the Messiah that's to come. And he points that out, making sure that is clear for us. In Micah 5, Micah says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So we're seeing a contrast or a difference of the kingdom of Caesar, who's in charge, mighty on his throne, and Jesus with this lowly beginning, humble beginning of being born in a manger, in a feeding trough, and being laid there. No, with no, you know, palace or no, castle or whatever you might think. No, he's just in the humble beginnings, and that he's coming from Bethlehem, and that this ruler, Jesus, is here. And I wanted to continue on here and read this in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. What an amazing picture this is. We saw this in the video, but even with that, it's like, wow, the angel of the Lord is there. The glory of the Lord is shining, it's just shining around them. This is a spectacular thing that maybe you might think would be more reserved for a temple or a religious gathering, and yet God is meeting these shepherds out in a field. I can't help but think of Luke chapter 1, verse 52. You see, Mary, she has this song of praise. She's praising God for what God is doing in and through her as she's going to give birth to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 52, it says, He, God, has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. We see that in the beginning of Luke chapter 2 with Caesar. He's in charge. He's the mighty on his throne. And here's Jesus, humble with these humble beginnings. He will be exalted. But then we see with the shepherds as well, that the shepherds, they're lowly, they're humble. When I think of humility or think of being humble, I think of like two things. So one is being humble is like thinking of others before yourself or putting others first and serving others. Jesus, he came not to be served, but to serve. So that is an aspect of humility. But another part of that is a position where you're lowly or low status, low class, and you have this marginalized low position, at least in the world's eyes. And in that way, God is going to also lift up those who are humble. And we're already seeing that right away in the next chapter in Luke 2 that we're looking at this morning. Now, I was thinking like this glory of the Lord, that could be a whole sermon right there. What is that? And we could be here a long time talking about it. But the first story that popped in my mind was in Isaiah chapter 6, really to kind of help us to give context to what is this that is happening with the shepherds. But then let's look at Isaiah 6 and when the glory shows up. What a great story of God's presence. And I love this. Isaiah, he's in the temple. Isaiah is a prophet, a messenger of God, and he's going to communicate sometimes difficult messages to God's people. And Isaiah, he's in the temple, and then this happens in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth. And behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Your sin is covered. I see that, you know, we read this, and even this is like, wow, like, imagine this happening in a temple. The Lord is present, the train of his robe, these seraphim, these angelic-type figures shout, you know, they have a coal in there and with tongs, and all of this is going on, and they're shouting and singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. What an amazing picture this is. And we think of where this is happening. Where is it happening? In a temple. You think, well, if something like this is going to happen, it may happen, and it doesn't happen every day, but if it happens, it's going to happen in a temple. And yet, what does God do in this story in Luke 2? God's glory appears out in the fields, far away from a temple, far away from anyone even thinking about going to a religious gathering. And the thing I want to point out here is that God's glory reaches out to everyone, reaches out to everyone. Now, the shepherds, they're humble, they're lowly. But not only that, is that people despise these guys. They didn't really like them. And even the religious people, they didn't like the shepherds either, because the shepherds, they never went to any religious gatherings. They never went to any religious events or festivals. That wasn't even on their radar. They're out in the fields tending to their flocks. That's not of importance to them. So the religious people despised the shepherds. And yet God's glory, his presence reaches out to them. How beautiful is that? God's glory reaches out to them. Maybe you're in the room and you come here most weeks. You've been coming to Trinity for a while, but yet you feel far from God. God's glory reaches out to you. You're not too far from him. I'll just say this as an aside. I think it would be amazing to go to Israel and see all the places, because I love that. That's real. We could go there and see the places that and the cities and the towns, and because what's in the Bible is true. I love that. But I think we can miss it if we take that to the extreme and go there and think that is Holy Land, right? That is the Holy Land. We even call it that. But the point of this story is that God's glory extends out of what we would think is Holy Land to the fields, to all the way to Lakeville in 2019. That is unbelievable to me. And yet, that is true. That is true. God's glory reaches out to you. And if you needed to hear that this morning, I think somebody did. I mean, at least I needed to hear that. God's glory reaches out to you this morning. Now let's continue on. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born, gosh, I didn't know I was going to get emotional right now. You never know when you're with these things. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he's pleased. If you didn't think that there was some kind of connection with Isaiah and what was happening there, and then you read this, and this just solidifies it for me, and this picture of a multitude of angels joining the angel of the Lord, and they're singing and they're praising God in this way, and what God is doing. It's a beautiful thing. Glory to God in the highest, praising him because of what he's doing. That is an amazing thing. And that the good news was extending this good news of great joy to these shepherds, despised, not religious, far away from a religious gathering or a religious place, and God is showing up for them. Now, the good news, joy and peace, were said of Caesar Augustus. I don't know if you knew this, but they even use it. Good news, another translation is gospel. So the gospel of Caesar. When Caesar was born, they talked about it as good news of peace, joy, love. Some of the things that we even celebrate in Advent. That was talked of in Caesar. You can even see in your further readings. Definitely good news is talked about in Isaiah 40, verse 9. But it is also talked about of Caesar. Isn't that interesting? Again, the mighty being brought down from their throne. God exalting the humble. That is what is happening. And while Caesar may have brought peace sometimes violently or usually violently, God is going to bring peace in a different way through Jesus. So let's continue in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they go. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. In the New Living Translation, it says about verse 17, "After seeing him, the shepherds, they told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child." They just told everyone. Think about these guys. Think of who they are. We need to remember. It's easy to think, who you know, forget who they are. These are not religious people. They haven't attended a worship gathering. They haven't attended a Trinity class for, you know, a semester. These guys are rough around the edges. They might not even have the language for that. Now, you know, we should do all of those things. I love attending classes and studying the Bible. I love coming to worship gatherings. But what was the prerequisite for these shepherds? They saw something. They saw the angel coming and communicating this of the Savior being born. And then they went and they saw Jesus, the baby Jesus, and Mary and Joseph. And they told everyone. They just told everyone their story. That's what they did. They told their story to everyone. And that's what we are called to do. So, and moving on, verse 19 and 20. "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." I often thought, like, what does it mean that Mary is treasuring all these things in her heart? There's probably a lot as a mom that I don't really get that she's treasuring. But I just go right to her song, that verse that I quoted, Luke 1:52. And even she calls herself a lowly servant girl, that God is lifting up the humble. He is bringing down the mighty from their thrones. And that she's even seeing that play out right in front of her, like a further fulfillment of this song that she sang. With the shepherds, she knows who the shepherds are. She knows where they land in terms of the social status of the day. She knows all about that. And she's pondering this. God is fulfilling this, doing this in amongst her. What an amazing thing to ponder and to treasure what God is doing in and through Jesus, her own son. My big idea shouldn't be a surprise to you. I've been talking, the good news of great joy is for you and those around you. The good news of great joy is for you and those around you. Like I said, if it really is for you, if it really is for those around you, how should that change how you live? Should that change how you go through the motions? Or when you go through the motions, you're more intentional with that, with who you're interacting with? Or this is almost my second big idea. I was joking with Trent before the first service. This might be my second big idea, but it goes really well with this, is God lifts up the humble and gives them joy to share with others. He lifts up the humble and gives them joy to share with others. And maybe you're in the room and you feel lowly. You feel like if I was a shepherd, that would be a step up to where I'm feeling. And I want you to know that God's glory reaches out to you. And he wants to lift you up, whatever it is that you're going through. And there's so many reasons and things that we can feel overwhelmed during the holiday season. It could be remembering that we've lost loved ones and they're not here this year. It could be our own sin and our own fallenness of maybe we have been celebrating Advent and Christmas for years because we believe in Jesus, but we feel far from God because of our own sin or because of our own apathy or how we've kind of just go through the motions. And yet God continues to reach out. He reaches out to those who are far from him. God's glory, Emmanuel, God is with us, is reaching out to you to bring you joy. Like I said earlier, maybe that's just what you need to hear this morning, and that would be great, that God is reaching out to you to bring you great joy, good news of great joy. And for those of us in the room who are followers of Jesus and he brings people into our lives, what are we going to do when we interact with them this holiday season? It could be coworkers, it could be friends, it could be our neighbors. Who has God brought into your lives to show and share his love, his good news of great joy? But it's important for us to not forget where we came from. We can see here some questions that I just want us to think about. What was your humble state before coming to know Jesus? We all have been there, and it could be seem like it could be years ago, decades ago, but what did God do? And as if we really consider that, we can remember that God moved us from death to life. That's a big deal. We were dead in our sins, and God moved us to life. Or we've moved from condemnation. We're destined for hell, and God saved us from that. And when we place our trust in him, he brought us, moved us from condemnation to forgiveness. From our own sin, God has shown us grace. Remember what God has done, where he moved you from, your humble beginnings, or how has he lifted you up in the past? And here's another question. How is he doing that now? Maybe God is doing something now, because we can think of that big event, right? Coming to know Jesus from death to life, but yet we have these smaller stories where God is doing that. What is he doing now? Or what do you need him to do or now? Or what do you want him to do now? What humble state are you in? How are you lowly right now? And God wants to meet you there. Sometimes the weight of the world, the weight that we feel, the situations that we're in can feel so heavy that we can't see that. And the God, when God wants to speak to us, love, joy, peace, his presence, that can just roll right off our backs. And we just keep that weight instead. Ask God to show you how he's working in your life, what he wants to do in your life. Talk to a friend. Talk to someone who can help you navigate that. Talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. God wants to show you how he's working. You know, God goes before us in any situation. There's nothing that is a surprise to him. Sometimes we can be surprised by a lot of things, but nothing surprises him. He goes before us. So talk to him. Ask him what he's doing in the situation that you're in. So I have this question for you guys. Who has he put in your life to share the good news of great joy? Who has he put in your life? I believe that God has put people in your life. Like I said, if he goes before us, if nothing is a surprise to him, then he's placed people in your life. And there are people in your life, like the shepherds, who may never attend a worship gathering that God wants you to bring his joy and his peace into their lives. That's what he wants to do. People who are far away from him. Maybe people that you're going to see this Christmas season, family members that are far away from God, far away. And you know, I know, I have family members like that, far away from God, and I desperately want them to come to know Jesus. And sometimes we can feel like hopeless in that situation. I know I have. But we know that God's glory extends to the ends of the earth, goes out into the fields to the people who are not religious, and he wants to share with them his good news of great joy. How is God going to use each and every one of us to share that good news of great joy with others? And you're welcome to invite a friend or somebody to our Christmas Eve services or something like that, our gatherings, and that would be awesome. But there are people who may never even attend or come to our church building. But yet God still wants to reach out to the fields, right? He wants to reach out. He wants to use us, empower us by his Spirit to reach out to those around us. I'm excited to hear what God can do in and through us and what he will do in and through each and every one of you. Maybe there's some of you in the room who haven't placed your trust in Jesus yet. And you're like, is this message for you? And I think especially the Christmas message, this Advent message, this pronouncement of Jesus, the birth of Jesus is for those who don't know him or for the people who are not religious. As we saw, God even goes out to the fields, goes out to the shepherds to share that good news and even entrust them with the good news of great joy. Think of that. Entrust these guys with the good news of great joy to tell everyone their story. And if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, I would encourage you to really consider that and place your trust in him this morning. And if not this morning, then soon. And God can move you and will move you from death to life. Let me pray. Father, I am so thankful for the Advent season, this as we prepare our hearts, prepare our lives to remember the pronouncement of the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, who brings us great joy wherever we were at, that your glory extends to wherever we're at, whether it's in this building or far away from any church building, far away from anybody even thinking about you, people who are in their sin, who are dark, who are hopeless, that you reach out to them. I am so thankful for that you've reached out to me and done that, moved me from death to life. You've moved many in this room from death to life. Use us this Christmas season, this holiday season, to share your good news of great joy to those around us. Thank you that you haven't given up on us, that you reach out to us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.